impressive history in hydropower, Statkraft has grown into a European leader within renewable energy. But how are they working in the ever-evolving energy markets today? According to their annual report for 2015, they expect to see changes in the value chain and increased competition to remain competitive. This is the topic of this episode of Podcraft, and I'm joined by Executive Vice President of Market Operations and IT at Statkraft, Dr. Jürgen Choppe. Welcome, Jürgen.
Thank you.
To kick off, in your opinion, what are the driving forces in the global energy market today?
I think we see at the same time two major developments. One is on the technology side, where we actually observe with great interest that technology prices on alternatives to the classical power generation technologies are emerging and coming close in prices and bypass classical technologies depending on the market. That's a technology perspective. There is another perspective, which is actually the perspective of the customers. And they have increasingly options to choose, and they, and that is actually building and developing their opinions about how energy should be produced and used. And they will increasingly become an active participant in the market. And that is an almost a bottom-up revolution that we see.
Building on that perspective, I get the impression that you put the consumer or customer at the center of attention for much of your ongoing development. Is that also a realization that with the changes and disruption you mentioned, that traditional utilities no longer can take their customers for granted? They have other alternatives.
Yeah, again, many different cases here. There will, of course, also in the long run be a lot of customers that have a strong cost perspective on things and want to have cheap power to their home or to their facility. And that will be a major part of the market, no doubt. But there will be others who simply start developing their own ideas, and they will suddenly behave differently. And that is very difficult, I think, to capture if you're just following the classical retail or any other type of classical customer approach. And then thirdly, there will be those that were on the list of utilities as future customers, and they may never be because they are choosing alternative ways. They may never connect. And then there are large parts of populations in many countries which have no electricity today. They will have electricity in the future, but there is no utility involved.
How can Statkraft, as a major power producer, exploit these changes that you just described commercially?
Yeah, this is very interesting. Our classical model here, which is producing power and selling it, is a model that will continue to be very, very important for us. But we are plugging in additional elements here. And one of the major elements that we are currently spending a lot of effort on is actually to provide what we call market access for all sorts of new participants into the electricity market. That could be simply distributed generation facilities, and that could also be other active elements, batteries, people who simply want to navigate their smart home or things like that. And that is a new area of activity where we are going in with, depending on the country, small to big steps.
You're also responsible for IT operations at Statkraft. In my opinion, IT and energy are becoming increasingly intertwined. Automatic net meters in Norway is one example being put into use by 2019. Is that an assessment that you agree with? And if so, how does Statkraft work to sort of digitalize your operations?
I think this is a area which is currently still heavily underestimated. The debate about smart meters, I think, is not covering it remotely, to be honest. The concept of smart meters is basically to have an interface into people's home and to be able to control additional parameters and maybe actively control devices as well. But the minimum setting of a smart meter is not able to cover the full range. At the same time, there are parallel developments, and other companies are producing devices which are then controlling smart homes without a smart meter. So the smart meter is not really the main element for me. If you look at the possibilities that the digitalized environment is providing, this has several elements from online data to new data which is provided by sensors, the so-called Internet of Things, new algorithms, artificial intelligence, and the whole range of possibilities that the cloud is providing. So I think this is revolutionizing and turning the way energy is being managed bottom-up, not necessarily at the end customer's site, at least not as far as we are involved, but we are revolutionizing our own way of working and make use of what is often referred to as big data. But you won't see it as an end customer from day one on.
A few months ago, Statkraft opened the first battery storage facility in Niedersachsen in Germany. Is this a first step into the battery storage market, or is it something you do to gain knowledge of battery storage? What is your what are your intentions by opening such a facility?
Yeah, what we are currently doing, and that battery is one of several activities here, is to set out satellites and see what they do to the market and whether this is scalable technology. This battery that we have set out, I'm quite happy to say that I'm optimistic it will actually be paid back. It is predominantly targeting a very specific reserve market that we have in Central Europe. There, I think this will simply be a profitable investment. It may, however, turn out to be more of a learning effect than a real profitable investment, because this technology is also progressing very fast. I think batteries are a scalable technology. Whether scale will go into utility scale or more distributed, perhaps even people's home applications, that remains yet to be seen. And we will for sure participate in that, but not necessarily with utility scale investments.
You mentioned that you already give people access to energy markets. Could you explain how does, in a bit more detail, how does that actually work in practice?
I can give you some examples here. One business line that we are following in Germany at the moment is helping customers that own generation, but then it's wind generation, solar generation, biomass of smaller scale. And they have a need to participate in the market due to regulation. And here they don't want to build up, of course, their own trading floor or similar activities, but they need agents in between. And we are helping them to do that. And this is a big market, and it's a lot of competition out there. And we are one of several, but I think fairly successful at this moment, to basically provide the best offer to these people. What is counting for such services is basically the total package, including being a credible partner, being stable, being available in the long run, because these investments are investments for 15, 20 years, and the financing banks would like to see somebody who is around also tomorrow.
You mentioned solar as an example. Last year I interviewed you about Statkraft looking into solar energy. At the time, you'd chosen two different strategies to increase your activity, either to build and sell solar plants but remain in the role as an operator, or install panels on commercial buildings and sign power purchase agreements with the owner of the building. A few months after that interview, you established a joint venture in India, using more or less the second model I described. What is Statkraft doing within solar at the moment? What are your plans going forward?
Now, we are still following these two main tracks, plus a third one. The third one would be more going towards utility scale investments. And here we are having a project in Brazil that combines wind and solar, and we are considering such an investment. And we think generally that in such countries it could be attractive for us to broaden the technology spectrum a bit. But the main other activities really go into these directions that you mentioned before, and we are moving ahead. It's not going as fast as it possibly could be, but we are quite proud to have done the first investment in India, of course, closed the contract there of some size, and we are now investing into the corresponding facilities. And we have a lot more in the pipeline, but it doesn't materialize, of course, all within a day. So this is one thing. And we're doing the same in other countries. We had to stop it also in some regions, like for the UK. In the UK, for instance, it turned out to be hit by a regulatory change that makes this model unfeasible. And then, obviously, we will not carry on. We are looking at new markets at the same time.
Is it possible to give a bit more details on the project in Brazil when you have a final investment decision or more details about the size of the utility scale project?
Yeah, this is not huge. It is an addition to an existing wind farm in a way. I can't give you details at this moment because we have not simply decided for ourselves at what time we will be able to take such an investment.
But at least you're considering it.
We are considering it, absolutely.
Last year, you launched a venture capital unit who looks to invest in what, at least what the website describes as outstanding entrepreneurs looking to disrupt energy markets. What has come out of the venture division so far?
We are following here a business plan that has a perspective in the order of 10 years. So within that period, we should more or less halfway have a break-even point in terms of payback, and that comes from divestments again. In this moment, we are in the build-up phase. We have done a major investment last year in a company called Tado. They are in the smart home domain, and something a bit like the American Nest company, perhaps, we think with clearly better technology. and we are, at this moment, very close to the next transaction in this portfolio. It's a very exciting activity, not just for the deals that we are closing, but also for the totality of opportunities that we get on the table. And we are seriously screening several hundred opportunities every year. Which means this provides a great overview of what is actually happening in the energy domain, and we have a very active internal discussion about this as well in order to understand what is happening and take it in also as a learning aspect. Mm. The activity as such is, of course, for profit, and we follow this track, and I'm very happy about this.
Returning home to Norway for the final questions, a lot of the examples that you mentioned are taken from Statkraft's international activity. Does that imply that future growth will primarily be outside of Norway, or how do you see this development and some of the services you already offer will apply in Norway, if they will at all?
What makes sense in one country doesn't make necessarily sense in all the others. So we like concepts that we can roll out globally, but some of them don't work in every country. And it's the same for Norway. What makes a lot of sense for Norway and what we're currently following up are concepts in the domain of biofuels, in the domain of bio wood chips, for instance, that we are buying and producing here in Norway and then selling to facilities, for instance, that burn them in old coal generators, converting them to renewable. These kind of activities make a lot of sense for Norway. Equally, investigating possibilities in hydrogen, electric car charging, all these kind of activities. So there's a clear focus on what makes sense for Norway and that we are following very distinctly here. We also do things in Norway that we do elsewhere. For instance, the whole market access activities. They are at this moment much larger in Germany and the UK, simply for the reason that small-scale generation has boomed a lot earlier in those countries. But I would be very surprised if we wouldn't see some of that development also in Norway, Sweden, and Finland, for instance. And indeed, at this moment, we already run a portfolio. It's relatively small, but anyway, we run a portfolio of third-party-owned wind farms, which we are bringing to the market as a service.
Thank you very much, Jürgen, for coming on the podcast, and good luck with your future ventures in Statkraft.
Thank you so much.